First of all, welcome to the teaching series on Romans, and on behalf of my wife and I would like to thank you for all the nice cards and letters and emails and telephone calls, conversations, gifts, and so many other things that you sent to us and our family on in the situation with the passing of my mom. People sure said a lot of nice things to us about my mother. I had no idea, actually, that so many people knew her. I would bring her to these meetings and then kind of leave her alone and go talk to people. It seems like a lot of people talked to her, and I didn't really realize that a lot of people knew her. So thank you for all that you did. And I was talking to Jerry, and so many people, I think, were praying. It made the situation so much easier, and all the love that we received from you guys really helped out a lot. And of course, knowing the truth and accuracy of the word, you know, really helped a lot. So thank you very much. As some of you know, our daughter Elise is not here today. She's studying in Italy. She's learning a lot about the Italian culture. She's learning how to speak Italian. She's learning about Italian art and culture. And she's probably doing research on Italian wines when she's there also. So it's a great privilege for me and everybody else who's going to be up here to be able to teach God's word on this wonderful epistle, the book of Romans. Romans is one of my favorite books, and it helped me a lot personally when I first began to understand Romans. It sure helped me, as it does today, to understand who I am as a believer and overcome, you know, condemnation and looking on the flesh and all these things. The first Bible class I ever taught was around 24 years ago, and the topic of that Bible class was Romans. I can speak personally. The two men that I learned the most about Romans from was Dr. Werwell and Reverend Walter Cummins, and they sure taught me a lot, as well as the other people that are going to be teaching. Some of their work that I've had the privilege of studying and working over the years has been assigned in the homework assignments, and yes, there is that word, homework. So if you'd like to participate in the homework, you may. In this teaching series, you will not be tested or quizzed on any kind of homework assignment, okay? So this is a teaching series. A teaching series, we call them teaching series and not classes, because a class has a little bit more of a formal sound. So to escape formality, we're just going to call it a teaching series. It's also an overview. When I first took Romans, I think for the first time, we studied Romans for a whole year, and actually people could have studied it for another year, and we just studied half of Romans for a year. So to be able to teach Romans in six sessions when it's possible to study it for years, obviously we're going to miss out on some details. This is what, it's an overview. It's an overview, and in an overview you kind of get to know where you're at, so you know a little bit so you can figure out where you're going with it. Many years ago, I went on a program called LEAD, and it was a program where you got to go in the wilderness and learn about living outdoors and camping and sliding down rocks and climbing up rocks and, you know, learning about living outdoors. Now, most of you know I'm not Daniel Boone, so when you're out in the wilderness and you have to go to the bathroom, you don't find a porta potty, you just find a bush or something. So I had to go to the bathroom, and I was with a bunch of different people. So the plan was they were just going to go ahead, and I was going to go to the bathroom, and then I would find them, track them, and then go find where they were and catch up to the group. So I went to the bathroom, and I came out, and all my friends disappeared. So I was lonely there, and I had to find them, and I couldn't track them. So what I did was I climbed up to the top of this hill, and I looked around to see if I could find them. And finally, I found them. I think one of them came back and rescued me. But the point of the matter is, when I climbed up to the top of the hill, I could look around and I could see the whole picture of what was going on. For these next sessions in the book of Romans, we're going to look up and we're going to see kind of an overview so we can kind of tell what's going on. And once you have that perspective, it'll be a little easier down the road if you'd like to fill in some of the details on your own personal study. Some goals that I have personally for this teaching series. Number one is in Luke chapter 24. Let's go there. Luke 24, please. Luke chapter 24. Is it deer season yet? Is it bear season? Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. In verse 32, it says, Jesus Christ spoke the word to these two guys, and they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" They were excited on the inside. They were on fire because of the word of God that Jesus Christ shared with them. A goal I have for this teaching series over the next month is that we can be really excited about a knowledge of God's word that we're learning. And the more that we're on fire on the inside about God's word, it makes the problems and the situations in life a lot less hurtful or a lot less, you know, strong, because we are so excited on the inside with God's word. Another goal would be to learn the book of Romans itself and to have a greater understanding and believing of the church epistles because of the understanding of Romans as the foundation. And the last one, the last goal is in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. Acts chapter 17 and in verse 11. Those tablecloths sure are bright, aren't they? A little too bright. No, you like them? How many like the tablecloths? Be honest. How many of you don't like them? Raise your hand. Really? Okay. I actually picked them out, but they're too bright for me. So I know you guys who raised your hand on the second time. But you know what? I agree with you. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all," what?
"Readiness of mind."
Readiness of mind. They were into it. They wanted it. They were eager. "And searched the scriptures once a year on their birthday." No. "Daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them did a really cool thing," and that was what?
Believed.
"Also of honorable women, which were of the Greeks, and of men, not a few." They received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And then what happened is they believed. Many of them believed. Another goal that I have here is that we could develop ourselves as students of God's word, and we could get better habits of study in our life, to the end that we work God's word more often, and to the end that it increases our believing. You know, we've been to school, and some of us have been to a lot of school. Some of us are still in school. We learn a lot. One thing you learn in school is how to read, how to be able to comprehend, how to think, how to put these things together. We could learn to be students of God's word to the end that we know how to work the word. We know how to go to materials and feed ourselves the word of God. So during this teaching series, if you'd like to take notes, that's one of the reasons we have these tables there. So you could take notes if you'd like. You could also go to more to one session if you'd like to hear the teaching twice. We do have homework, So if you could pull out your little handout there on homework, that would be great. Find the homework handout. Handout of homework. Okay, so in this homework handout, there are some different things that you might want to study. Something that would be really good throughout the teaching series is you just read the Bible, read the book of Romans. Also, for those of you who want to work it further, the teachings, and see things in a deeper way, we have this book here, A Journey Through Acts and the Epistles. If you want, you could buy one back there, but this would be a really great way to work the material in a much deeper way. You could look through this homework assignment. There's things in there that are easier to read and things that are a little deeper. There's studies in abundant living. Some of them, you know, some of you have some of these things. These are a little easier to read. And then we have scripture consulting. Some of the homework is in scripture consulting. This is a little bit meatier, okay? So you can read what you like, and the more you put into this, the more you're going to get out of it. Dr. Werwell said many years ago, if you lay all your reading material for 3 months, you lay it aside, and you just work the Word, you just read God's Word for 3 months, you won't know yourself. Remember that one? You won't know yourself. So we still have God's Word, and if just put aside your stuff maybe for a little while and just make a commitment to just really get into God's Word. That's a good thing. In the bookstore back there, we have a limited supply of some of these and other books that you can check out. You can buy, and if some of these books we run out of, or some we don't have them here, these guys can tell you how to be able to order them, okay? So check out the bookstore. We do have limited supply of some of this stuff. If you're interested in buying some studies in abundant living, Melissa has a few to sell. Where's Melissa? Okay, there's Melissa right there. She can help you with some studies in abundant living and other material if you'd like to buy some of that, okay? Maybe some of the books like Demonstrating God's Power, they're out of print. If you come to a homework assignment like that, maybe what you might want to do is go to somebody who's been into God's Word longer, and they might have some of these books that you could read. We also have a library at our house, and if you want to come over and read some of these books, everything that's on here we have at our library, okay? So, the first thing I'd like to deal with then is Romans and the seven church epistles, and we're going to see how Romans fits in as the foundation of the church epistles. So you have a piece of paper like this in front of you. Piece of paper like this. Has two sides there. So, very briefly, let's go look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, and in verse 16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, for instruction in righteousness." All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Who remembers what that means? Anybody want to remember? Yes? All scripture is God-breathed. It comes from God. Somebody just didn't decide to write it. So it comes from God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction. Doctrine, reproof, and correction. In the ancient texts, sometimes the order of the books are different. One book might be ahead of another book in a certain text. But in the church epistles, the order of these epistles never varies. They always go Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. No, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and what?
Thessalonians.
That order never changes. And that order corresponds to this verse here, doctrine, reproof, and correction. So take this piece of paper here with this beautiful flow chart on it. Do you see this beautiful flow that I stayed up late last night making? No, actually, Bob made this. You know I didn't make this. All right, now, has all these beautiful things. It even has scrolls and stuff. How did we get scrolls on here? So let's look at this, and this will explain the point. We're going to look at and see how Romans is the foundation of the church epistles. Now, so Romans, the book of Romans, the book of Romans has two sections, basically, doctrine and practice. Now, so there's Romans on the bottom over there. Now, so then you see Romans and Ephesians are on top of each other. They're doctrinal. And Thessalonians up on the top there, that's also doctrinal. Tells people how to believe rightly. Then Philippians and Corinthians are reproof epistles. They point out practical error. Okay, it's reproof of practical error. Then Colossians and Galatians corrects doctrinal error. Doctrinal error. So Romans is doctrinal, Corinthians is reproof, Galatians is correction, Ephesians is doctrinal, Philippians is reproof, and Colossians is doctrinal. And then Thessalonians doesn't have any reproof and correction necessary because by that time we'll have all new bodies and won't be making any doctrinal or practical errors up there in heaven. So let's look here at Romans, all right? So here you have Romans. Then there's an arrow, and it says, the misuse or failure to adhere to the doctrine of Romans in practice. So then when somebody practices error, then the book of Corinthians is written, it reproves practical error. It deals with practical issues. Then, when error is practiced long enough, it becomes a doctrinal error, and then the book of Galatians was written to correct doctrinal error. Same with Ephesians. Ephesians is doctrinal. Then, misuse or failure to adhere to the doctrine of Ephesians in practice. Then you have practical problems. Philippians addresses itself to practical problems. Then, when you practice error long enough, it becomes a doctrinal error. And then Colossians corrects doctrinal error. So, let me see here. How many of you are sports fans in here? Come on, get honest. Raise your hand. How many of you like baseball? How many of you like basketball? How many of you like football? Football. All right, now, I want to ask you a question. For you football fans, what team has the worst offense in the National Football League? The San Francisco 49ers have the worst offense in the National Football League. It's so bad, it's offensive. Now, so, and it just so happens that that team is playing the New York Giants today. Now, suppose I'm the coach of the San Francisco 49ers, and my offense really is terrible. So, a wide receiver is the guy who catches the football. So, in the beginning of training camp, he's telling this guy, well, look, this is what you do. He draws it up on the board and he does this. He's teaching them by the chalkboard and drawing all these things. And he says, do you get how to do it? And he goes, yes, I understand your teaching. That's like doctrine. And then he goes out there and he's just tripping over his feet and he can't catch a pass. And the guy goes, you know what? You're just doing it the wrong way. Here's my friend Jerry Rice. You just follow him. He'll show you what to do because you're just doing it the wrong way. And then after a while, the coach comes up to this guy and he goes, you know what? You just have practiced this for a long time. You don't get it, and in your mind, you don't get what I originally taught you. We need to go back to the chalkboard, and I need to show you all these things again so you get it up here. That's correction, okay? Doctrine, reproof, and correction. Doctrine is how to believe rightly. The reproof reproves practical error, deals with practical problems. But as we practice them too long, then they become doctrinal. So then we see here that Romans then has a direct effect on Corinthians and Galatians. Because whatever Romans is teaching, Corinthians corrects wrong practice related to Romans. Romans also has a big effect on Galatians because Galatians corrects the doctrinal error related to Romans. So these are related. Also, Ephesians is based on the doctrine of Romans. So to understand Romans better, that's going to help us directly to understand Ephesians. It's going to help us directly to understand Corinthians. It's going to help us directly to understand Galatians. And if we understand Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians comes a lot easier, and then Thessalonians on top of that. So Romans is the foundation of the epistles. Now, Corinthians sounds a little bit more like the practical section of Romans because it's talking about practice. Galatians sounds more like the beginning part of Romans because it's correction of doctrine. So that's a nice chart that Bob has right there. So let's look then a little bit closer at these three relationships, direct relationship of Romans. What's the difference then between Romans and Ephesians? Romans and Ephesians. Romans starts out with man's depravity. Ephesians starts out, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3 talk a lot about man's need for a Savior. So, starts out with man's depravity. Here in Ephesians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, and to the who?
Faithful.
Faithful in Christ Jesus. Ephesians was written to the faithful. Romans is written to the saints. So there's a difference right there. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians starts out seated in the heavenlies. Romans starts out seated not in the heavenlies, that's for sure. So Romans starts with man's depravity. It starts off, and it's addressed to the saints. Ephesians is seated in the heavenlies, and it's to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Romans shows the believer dead and raised with Christ. Ephesians shows the believer seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Thessalonians shows the believer glorified with Christ. In Romans, we're dead and raised. In Ephesians, we're seated. And in Thessalonians, were glorified. So there is a difference between Romans and Ephesians, and we'll see more of this difference as we go along. Now, let's look a little bit at the difference between Romans and Corinthians. Romans sets out right doctrine, and it has doctrine and practice. Corinthians reproves practical error. So let's look at an example of this. Look at Romans 14. Romans 14. Romans sets out how to do it the right way. Do the right thing, somebody once said. Romans 14. Romans 14 and in verse 13. It says here, "Let us not therefore judge one another, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's" what? Way. So if we have freedom in Christ, which we do, our freedom cannot cause someone else to stumble. Okay? Our freedom should not be someone else's bondage, because that's not the love of God. So in our walks, we should not cause someone to stumble. You know, say a person who is a recovering alcoholic, and this person should not drink, but I intentionally take this person to bars at nighttime, and they're hanging out and doing whatever. It's just not a, and then eventually, because I'm, you know, going out having some drinks, and this person is always with me, and what, eventually this person might, you know, stumble and fall in a certain situation. So some of that I could have been wiser, possibly. I cannot allow my freedom to cause someone else to go into bondage. Back then, they used to use this with idol, with meat that was sacrificed to idols. If a person ate some meat that was sacrificed to some god, all right. However, if there was a guy who just got in the fellowship and was just beginning to walk, and maybe he worshiped this certain idol, and then someone took him and they ate some meat that was sacrificed to this idol, maybe this guy who ate the meat, because he ate this meat, he would begin to worship this idol again, that he would cause that person to fall. So look here at 1 Corinthians 8, 9. 1 Corinthians 8, 9. So Romans sets it out in a doctrinal way, what to do. Corinthians points out or reproves the practical error. In other words, talks about it when it's done the wrong way. And here the same topic is talked about, and people had been doing it the wrong way. 1 Corinthians 8, 9. "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." If you read the book of Corinthians, you see that people had wrong practice in this area. Now, let's look at an example of how Romans is different than Galatians. Romans deals with doctrine, that we're freed. Romans tells us that we're freed from the law. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 20. This is doctrine. This is how to believe rightly. Romans 3. We're going to see how beautifully God's word fits together. Many different writers, but there's one author, and that's God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed to by the law and the prophets." So the book of Romans shows how Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, and we are freed because of the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. We're freed from the law. We're freed from the body of sin and death because of the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. But in Galatians, there was doctrinal error. They were still teaching the law. So they had a doctrinal problem. So let's look then at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of what?
Bondage.
And what is the yoke of bondage? Law. So in Romans, we were freed from the law. However, in Galatians, they were still sticking to the law. So it was a problem in the mind. They had wrong teaching in the mind. The other one pointed out in Corinthians a problem of practice. This was in Galatians where they hung on to another doctrine. Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, like in keeping the law, Christ shall profit you what?
Nothing.
If you're trying to keep the law by circumcision, you know, you're just blowing off what he tried to accomplish. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law, if a person is trying to do circumcision to keep the law. Christ is become no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the what?
Law.
You are fallen from what?
Grace.
Boy, that's really clear, isn't it? That's super clear. In Romans, we're freed from the law. In Galatians, they were hanging on to the law and saying, if you're doing this, Paul says, you're fallen from grace. You're not accepting God's grace in your life. So Romans sets forth the doctrine. Galatians then corrects it. There is doctrinal error. Very, very simple in this section right here. So Ephesians is based on Romans. We saw some of that, and we're going to see some later, even in more depth. Corinthians is based on Romans directly. Galatians sure is based on Romans. And then these other epistles, Philippians and Colossians, based on Ephesians, which is based on Romans, and Thessalonians and all that. So Romans then is the foundation of all these epistles. And if we can get this in a really good way in our minds, then it's going to help us with our understanding of all these whole epistles, which is really great. All right, so when was Romans written? Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. When was Romans written? How's the temperature in here?
Good?
Anybody hot? Anybody cold? Anybody mad? I better stop there before I get myself in trouble. Did you put your hand up, Nancy? Are you mad? Oh, you're cold. See, if we don't correct that, then she will be mad. Okay. Look at Acts 20. Acts 20. Nice to see you, Nancy. Acts chapter 20, verse 1. Where was Romans written? Here we go. Acts chapter 20. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed to go into what?
Macedonia.
Macedonia. Where is Macedonia? Who knows? Macedonia. They eat spanidocopita there. Macedonia is in Greece, the northern part of Greece. There's also a place, a country, I think, called Macedonia now. But Macedonia in the Bible is northern Greece. So when he had gone over these parts, northern Greece, and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. Greece in the Bible would refer to, in this situation, the southern part of Greece. So here he is in southern Greece. And when you put together a few other scriptures, you could see that Paul was in Corinth, probably, when he wrote Romans. And Corinth is in southern Greece. So Romans was written in Corinth, here in southern Greece. And there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail in Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So as best as we can tell, the book of Romans was written right here in these 3 months when you put together a bunch of other scriptures from Corinth in southern Greece. And what was going on in the church at this time? Now, last year we did a teaching series on the book of Acts. So you guys should be relatively familiar with what was going on. It's really cool when you study the Word of God and you read a book in the Word of God and you think, what was going on at the time when this was written? We just studied the book of Jeremiah. What was going on at the time of Jeremiah? Why did Jeremiah say these things? What was going on in 2 Kings, and why did this stuff go on there when these things were happening? What was the background to the book of Daniel? What was really going on and what was said? So when you read a book, as we grow in God's Word, try to find out the background of this, and then what's said in the book is going to be of greater understanding. Understanding the book of Acts and then being able to place the epistles in the book of Acts when they were written will give us a lot more understanding then of why what was said in these certain contexts. So, before we take a break, we're going to just look at a couple things here in the book of Acts to set kind of some time parameters as to when Romans was written. Look at Acts 19, verse 20. Before Acts 20 there, when Romans was written, we're going to look at Acts 19 and in verse 20. Acts chapter 9, verse 20. This coffee is affecting my mind. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. Now I have an excuse to say something wrong if I need it. Acts chapter 19, and in verse 20 it says, "And so mightily grew the word of God," and what? The greatest outreach of God's word in the first century church was in Acts 19. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It moved over Asia Minor, which is basically Turkey, in 2 years and 3 months. And these were basically to the Gentiles. It had really taken off. It was phenomenal. It was one of the high points in the first century church of the outreach of God's word to the Gentiles. That was just a little before Romans was written. Now look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and in verse 21. By the way, the truths of the book of Romans were taught before. Romans was written at this time that I'm saying. However, people got born again a long time before that, didn't they? So the truths were taught before, but it was put down on paper in Acts 20. Acts 19, phenomenal outreach. Acts chapter 20, Romans was written. Acts 21, verse 20, it says, "And while they heard it, they glorified the law and said," you guys got it? Am I going too fast? Acts chapter 21, and in verse 20, it says, "And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they're all zealous for what? The law." So Romans talks about being freed from the law, yet a lot of people were still hanging on to the law. So in one hand, you have the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 19, the word of God is moving in some manner that's unprecedented. Some phenomenal thing, one chapter back. One chapter ahead then, we see that there's a whole bunch of people in Jerusalem still hanging on to the old tradition and not accepting the grace of God. It's very much like our lives. We may be all excited and hot about something, and certain aspects of our life are doing really well, and a certain other aspect over here needs some work. Paul was one of the great leaders of the first century church. He led the outreach to the Gentiles, and God entrusted him with writing much of the New Testament. And that's then some of the background of this great book of Romans. And after the break, then, we'll be looking into the first few verses in the book of Romans, which are an introduction then to the book of Romans. But something I'd like you to ponder at the break is, did Paul, oh, by the way, we have nice bagels and fruit and different things for the break. Something I'd like you to think about at the break is, did Paul eat bagels on the road to Emmaus? No, anyway, listen. Did Paul eat bagels on the road to Emmaus in Acts chapter 9? I'll be asking for the answer after, okay?